Thank you, Madanath Maharaj, for inspiring and enlightening us in the essence of bhakti and the futility of material desires. I was also thinking, and as Maharaj was speaking, how Indradyumna Maharaj saw everything that he had as useless or without any real value in life unless and until he had his desire fulfilled to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's another story in the Shastras, which is a little similar but also a lot different, how one king, his name was Chitraketu. Now this king, he also had everything. Wealth, power, sovereignty, many, many, many wives, much worship. He had, in other words, he had everything that a king could want and more. But he wasn't happy. But it wasn't because of his estrangement or his lack of relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That didn't enter into his mind. He was unhappy because although he had all these, as Maharaj said, zeros, he wanted another zero. And that zero, he felt, was the zero that would make the whole difference in everything else he had. So that was that he didn't have a son. By the arrangements of Providence, by the arrangements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he somehow had so many wives, so much popularity, so much position, so much everything, and still he couldn't have a son. And usually we look around the world and it's very natural, easy, ordinary for people to have children. And you would think with all his, what we say, influence, to have such great wealth, opulence, power, and position, you have to have sukriti, you have to have pious activities, you have to have the blessings of the Lord in the sense of getting the opportunity to achieve all these. And to be a king also means to be in a position of representing God. But he somehow didn't have a son. That was his, what we say, that was his karma. That was his destiny. But he wanted that. And somehow or other, a great sage, Angira Muni, came to visit his palace. And he worshipped Angira very nicely. He pleased him by sweet words, washed his feet, glorified him in so many ways. And then he took the opportunity to ask for his fulfillment of material desire. Please, I have so much, but I'm unhappy. Please give me a son. Now, this great sage could understand. Now, this is another important principle. Here was an opportunity to ask for the goal of life or for devotion to achieve the goal of life. But he was so fixed on his material desire that it didn't enter into his mind that here's a great sage that could put him on the path or increase his devotion to the Supreme Lord. But he asked for something material, something, what we say, he felt he had to have. And it's also said that in this case, when he dies, the son is there, they can perform the strata ceremony, the puja, and then they can get elevation to the higher realms. He was also thinking in that way. Without that, what will be my destination after death? So he asked. Now, Gangira was very intelligent. He could see that this person wasn't destined to get this material benediction. But he wanted it so bad. Now, the sage could have preached to him about, you know, this is Maya, and if you get this, what guarantee will you have for happiness, for prosperity, for success in life? But Chitraketa couldn't hear. He couldn't hear. And the sage knew that his preaching wouldn't do any good because his desire for material attainment for a son was so strong that Krishna consciousness, spiritual, transcendental, philosophical knowledge wouldn't take root in his mind or his heart. So he fulfilled his desire, but in a reverse way. He granted him, okay, because you have pleased me, and because you want this, then you will have a son. As soon as he heard that, he was so pleased. He was so pleased. But he said, but the name of the son will be Harsha Shoka, which will mean he'll cause you happiness, but he'll also cause you some distress. But he didn't know what the nature of that distress was. And then he was thinking, oh, he may be a bad boy and a little naughty. He's a king's son. He'll be the only son. He's going to be proud. And so he'll be a little bit, let me say, unruly. That's okay. I can deal with that as long as I have a son. So he arranged for one of his queens, Trita Duti, he prepared this, I think it's Havasyana, sweet rice, and he gave it to this queen, and after some time she became pregnant, and a son was born. He was the happiest person in the world. He was overjoyed. His desire had been fulfilled. He was thinking, now my kingdom, now my power, now my wealth, now all my ministers, everything I have has meaning. Before it had no meaning to him because he didn't have a son. But because of the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because of the mercy of this great sage, something else happened. The other queens, he had 10 million wives. Can you imagine? No, don't imagine, because you might imagine something that you shouldn't imagine. But he was just so, what we say, overjoyed. But the other wives weren't. They were thinking, or they were being neglected, because this king now was showing all his affection, all his attachment, all his attention to this one wife. And he just gave her everything at the expense of neglecting others. Maharaj was speaking this morning about this element of envy and how it destroys all the good qualities of a person. A person may have many good qualities, but this principle of envy causes one to feel unhappy even when there's no reason to be unhappy. As we were hearing, that happiness really expresses itself when one appreciates another person's success, happiness, worship of the Lord. In other words, one finds happiness in another person's happiness. That's love, actually. That's explained. How real happiness is to make Krishna happy. The real happiness is to make others happy. So this envy destroys that quality, which is the essence of bhakti or happiness. And they couldn't tolerate it. So they arranged to kill the child. They poisoned the child. And when It was found out later by the nurse who was taking care of the child. She was beyond herself. She couldn't. She went into the room and the child was there. And his eyes were open and she started to... She became just as, when we say, overwhelmed with unhappiness as the mother and father would later become by hearing the news. And then, Prita Dutti, when she received the news, she just lost consciousness. She fell to the floor. Our only son, after so much prayer, so much endeavor to find happiness in our king, now he had a son, and now all was lost. And then when Chitraketu heard about this, it's explained that he was like a fool. He was rolling on the ground. He was crying. He was beside himself. His position as a king looked pitiful compared to what he was experiencing. And then, just after that, the sages returned. But this time, Angira Muni came with Narada Muni. And then they started to speak to him about the nature of material things and how these things are all temporary, how we come in contact with these things. Why is our friends, our relatives, we're talking materially, relatives, possessions, why is anything in this world dear to us? We're not speaking about devotion. Why, in a material sense, why are these things dear to us? Because they're connected to our body and our mind. And because we are not the body and not the mind, these are also forms of illusion in terms of the happiness they can bring, because the body is not the source of happiness. So he had to go through this, what we say, traumatic experience to finally wake up to the fact that this son actually, and was later revealed, was possibly his enemy in a previous life who simply came as his son to bring him misery and suffering. Isn't that amazing? He was looking towards this as the source of happiness, fulfillment of all desire. He got the complete opposite. And at that point, after hearing about how this world is arranged in such a way that whatever material attachments we have, the intensity of that attachment causes the same amount of intensity of misery when we lose it, or we even try to find happiness in it, and it can't give us the fulfillment. And so, after some time being preached to by Angira Muni and Narada Muni, he was ready to hear. He was finally ready to hear. And at that point, he understood. And he gave up all his attachment and ultimately left everything and became a great, great devotee of the Lord Chitraketu. And so, because sometimes in our material life, or in our life, what keeps us attached to this material world causes us to be, what we say, unable to cry out for Krishna. Maharaj was explaining, and he was using examples of devotees from different angles of existence. Kolavitra Sridhar had nothing. Pundarik Vidyanidhi had everything, at least materially. But both were great devotees of the Lord. Why? Because they saw, as Maharaj mentioned, everything in this world is simply has value only when we use it in the service of the Lord. That's all. Manaso deho geho yo kichu more. Arpilutu Altude Nandakishore. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, my home, my wife, my possessions, my very existence, my body, everything, it's yours. It's yours because it's coming from you and it's meant to be used in your service. But not only that, that's the source of our happiness. What can we keep in this world? We can't keep anything. It's all gone. And the more we're attached to whatever we have, the more pain comes about when we lose it. But how to free ourselves from that, what we say, illusionary attachment. And Maharaj ended his lecture so nicely by explaining, we have to call out to the holy name of the Lord. We have to take shelter of Krishna's holy name in such a way that that holy name becomes the source of our only happiness. I remember one time Maharaj gave a class and he was saying, chant and be happy. He just said it today again, chant and be happy, right? Very simple statement, Prabhupada used to say it so many times, chant and be happy. But then the deeper meaning is that if you're looking for happiness somewhere else, you really can't find the full happiness that is found within the chanting of the holy names. Because everything we're looking for and more is on a spiritual platform, not in this material platform. Material becomes spiritual only when it's used and directed towards the service of the Lord. And to purify our consciousness from that consciousness of trying to find happiness, we have to chant the holy names of the Lord as our main activity in life. I was just reading the other day, I forget exactly what was the reference, but if you want to develop Vaishnav Seva, then you should chant the holy names of the Lord because that will bring out the quality of service and then you'll want to serve the Vaishnavas. If you want to love Krishna in this age, chanting the holy names of the Lord becomes the foundation for the activities to develop that love. So Krishna's name is everything. Kali Kale, Nama Rupa Krishna Vata, Nama Hoite Hayasara, Jagat Nistar. Krishna has come in the form of his name. Kaler Doshanidhi Raja Asti Eko Mahagun Kirtana Eva Krishna Siam Mukta Sangha Parambajan. Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is about the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, free from any other desires other than the pure devotional service to the Lord. But Bhagavatam emphasizes chanting of the holy name of Sukadeva Goswami speaks in the 12th canto. That, O King, he's speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. This material age, the age of Kali, is full of so many faults, so many problems. The more we look around, the more problems we see. So many difficulties, right? Everywhere. It's just on a personal level, on a social level, on a national level, international level. Like Maharaj was explaining last night in his talk on apples and blackberries are no longer seen only as fruit. There's something else too. But they're really only fruit, but somehow we have another relationship with these words. And although we have so much extra energy, ability, time, effort towards developing so many aspects of the material energy, the world's getting worse. More anxiety, more depression, more wars. It doesn't take much to see this. It's becoming prominent everywhere. But therefore, we need a reverse, and that reverse means to take shelter of Krishna in devotional service and chant his holy name. And this mood of separation, as we were hearing from Maharaj, is actually a mood of happiness, although it sounds very painful, because when you love someone, or you're trying to love someone, you want to be with that person. Right? Love means to somehow or other experience the reciprocation of your love to another. But in the mood of separation, what is that reciprocation? Is that that intensity of wanting to be with that person becomes so strong that that person appears in the form of that mood of your own separation. It's the longing of the heart becomes so strong that nothing else really matters. Is that a blackberry? I'm just checking to make sure you were in line with last night's philosophy. Hare Krishna. Because if it don't, then we have to expand that topic a little bit more. But this mood of separation is satisfying. And that's the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He taught that mood. He taught it in his relationship with his wives, with his mother, with his associates, and in the mood of devotion to the Lord. Is that Krishna? The devotee finds happiness not so much in being with Krishna, but in serving Krishna. Because in serving Krishna, we're with Krishna. Krishna is experienced in the mood of service. And when that service becomes satisfying and pleasing to the Lord, then Krishna reveals himself through the service. And the essence of that is to chant Hare Krishna, really. We come right back to the most simple, most basic, but the most powerful aspect of our spiritual practice. It's the holy name of the Lord. It is the epitome of all spiritual practices. Yamaraj, he talks to his servants after they come back from trying to take the soul of Ajimil to the kingdom of Yamaraj. They failed. Because somehow Ajamil, he chanted the Lord's name at the time of death, and he became purified. Though he was so sinful, his whole life practically, except from his early part of his existence, was just full of sinful activities. Not only sinful activities, some of them were even criminal activities. But because he chanted with complete helplessness, the name of Narayan, he was free from the clutches of Yamaraj. They came back, and they reported to their master, "We failed." We want to know why we failed. We thought you were the supreme, and we were acting on your behalf, but we were interrupted and checked by these personalities who are representing Vishnu. And he said that the chanting of the holy names or devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all activities. But the essence of the essence is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So within devotional service, there are so many activities. And they're all absolute, they're all pure. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the direction is that to open up the door to all activities in devotional service, chanting the holy name is firmest. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if we chant in that mood, calling and crying out for Krishna, and chant as much as possible. I thought I'd go through Prabhupada's statements just to find out how many times Prabhupada said we should chant 24 hours a day. Because he says it in many of his lectures. I was just listening to his lecture, and Prabhupada said, and his process is very easy, and you know, engage in devotional service, you perform some activity, and you chant Hare Krishna, and you chant 24 hours a day. And Prabhupada says it's so, like, you know, ordinary, like, it's just, you know, okay, it's all right, everybody can do it. So I did a little research, and I found reference after reference, both in his books and in his lectures. Maha Prabhupada said that so many times. Because really, what he's saying is, always remember Krishna. And this is the easiest and recommended way to always remember Krishna. And Prabhupada says in one lecture, of course, he might have said it many times, if you're always remembering Krishna, Maya can never touch you. Maya can never touch you if you are in the consciousness of Krishna. Because you're in the consciousness of something that is above the three modes of material nature. So that's the mercy in this age. Making remembrance of Krishna very easy, natural, and very joyful. To chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.